You're listening to the Apple Insider Podcast.
Welcome to this week's all-new episode 70 of the Apple Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Victor Marks, and with me this week is Apple Insider editor Mikey Campbell.
Sup, guys?
Mikey, I'm so glad you're here. Neil's off this week, and so we have you filling in.
Slacker.
No kidding. Where is that guy when you need him?
All right, he's probably at his apartment staring at the wall or something. I don't know.
You mean he's not doing anything incredible or fun?
Not that I know of.
Well, you know, if he's really smart, this Memorial Day weekend, he'll go and he'll save up to $300 off popular 13 and 15 inch MacBook Pros.
Tell me more.
You can save up to $300 off when you pair instant discounts with exclusive coupons, or you can snap up a 2015 12 inch MacBook for only $964 with three free accessories, free shipping, and no sales tax in most U.S. states. So this week, resellers Adorama, B&H, and MacMall combined to offer the lowest prices across the board on popular MacBooks like 13 and 15-inch MacBook Pros and are picked for the very best value, the remaining 2015 12-inch MacBooks. Some include free items like a one-year LoJack subscription or Parallels Desktop 11 for Mac, all ship free and many without sales tax. So we've got a guide on our website. Go to appleinsider.com and you can go through our price guide and see which one is the deal for you.
Yeah, I would argue that the price that they're selling the 12-inch MacBook at now is what Apple should be selling it for. And it's just overpriced by a lot.
Well, to your mind.
I think to most people's mind. I mean, I know people are going to buy it, obviously. It's a sexy machine, but I think it's overpriced.
I met a woman in the airport in Los Angeles about a month ago, and she had the rose gold MacBook 12-inch.
Of course she did.
She insisted, because I asked her, how do you like it? And she said that it was quite possibly the best machine that she'd ever owned. It was thin, it was light, and as far as she could tell, it was not underpowered.
Right.
So I asked her dutifully, because I want to report the truth to you, dear listeners. I asked, what do you use it for? And she said that she has Safari tabs open all the time. She has like 20 tabs open. She has Excel spreadsheets going on in the 2016 Microsoft Office for Mac. And she does her whole business. She is the owner of her company, and she runs her whole business out of this 12-inch MacBook.
Spreadsheets and web browsing. That's it. Power user material.
What can you say? I know she's not doing Final Cut Pro, but she said that if she ever, when she hired new employees, this was the machine she was going to issue them.
Final Cut Pro. Wait, when you install that or you try to install that on a MacBook, does it just have a pop-up window that says no?
I think it probably allows you to do it, but she insisted that this was great. And her business is something about, it's in the pharma space somewhere. She's I believe a distributor of pharmaceuticals, legitimate ones, but, that's what she's using this machine for. And she was going to issue them to all of her new employees because she felt it was a fantastic machine for the price.
Cool. To each his own, I suppose.
Yes. Well, she's going to run into trouble at the end of this year, isn't she?
She is. Well, if she doesn't need the powerhouse, then I guess she's okay. But for people like you and I, we're road warriors who don't go on the road, I suppose.
Well, I'm on the road every month.
Okay. Well, I stay at home all the time. So for me, our favorite analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo, it's a crowd favorite, of course.
All hail.
Yep. He's his latest hot off the press tidbit is that.
So what does his crystal ball say when he looks deeply into it?
He's looking into his crystal balls. He's saying that Apple's going to release a new slim down 13 and 15 inch MacBook Pro finally. So it's going to be the redesign that everyone's been rumor mongering about for the past, 2 years, it seems. And it's going to come with a bunch of pretty crazy componentry, if you believe Mr. Kuo.
Okay, so what will this supposed, and this is the Q4 rumor, this says that Apple is expected to drastically revamp its flagship line in the second half of 2016, around the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so probably, hopefully, I'm guessing they're shooting for the holiday season, of course, but who knows? It could come after.
And this thing's going to come with Touch ID?
It is, indeed. Yes, so, no. Along with the thin and redesigned form factor. It's going to have some sort of Touch ID authentication, perhaps not Touch ID itself, but maybe so.
I wish it would.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be something along those lines. It's going to also have, it's going to replace the function buttons at the top of the keyboard with a OLED display touch bar for, which is kind of cool. We've seen that before, sort of, on other laptops.
Yeah. You know, the old IBM ThinkPads used to have a little display at the top.
Yeah. So this is going to be like an advanced version of that. Or anything that, I mean, it's cool because, right now you have to, you know, switch between the function keys serve more than one purpose, of course.
Right. Well, they're the F keys and they're also the screen brightness and so forth and, and you know, playback and volumes.
Right. So in this case, OS X could dynamically change that for you, maybe. I don't know, just spitballing here, but it could dynamically change it between those two, or maybe you can even configure your own stuff like the what is that? The Optimus keyboard from
the keyboard that had OLEDs and all the keys kind of thing.
Yeah, so it could be kind of like that, like a roll your own kind of solution, which would be cool. But I don't think that Apple would give you that much leeway as far as customization is concerned. But aside from that, usual expansions on the port. So USB-C is going to be carried over from...
Is that going to be the charge port, or is that going to be in addition to a MagSafe?
Unclear. I don't know if USB-C can... Well, depending on the battery. Oh, although he did... Quote did say that they're bringing over the battery design from the MacBook as well. Not specifically the rated output, but that kind of, you know... layered design, the multi-tiered thing.
The stacked battery that uses all of the available physical space inside the enclosure.
Exactly.
Right.
So they're going to bring that over. But I don't know he didn't really say if USB-C is going to be used as a charging thing. I don't think it will. Just considering that there's ample space on the logic board and all that good stuff. And there's space on the chassis.
To be used for more battery.
Yeah, but I mean, Apple's going to, if it's a MacBook Pro, you're going to expect a certain level of performance. And I don't think that they can squeeze that out of a logic board that's the size of the one in the MacBook, which is almost like an iOS device in itself. So, I would not bet on MagSafe going away, much to the happiness of Mr. Neil Hughes, who cannot get enough of the MagSafe.
Yeah.
And also Thunderbolt 3, but I don't know exactly. He said there's going to be Thunderbolt 3 ports, but considering that Thunderbolt 3 also supports the the same form factor as USB-C.
Right, it uses the same connector.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess just they could save space by just slapping in like three generic looking USB-C / Thunderbolt 3 ports. I don't know if they would actually break it out, you know how they do now, right? USB and then Thunderbolt 2 are two separate.
Well, right, but it's an entirely different connector. It's using the old mini display port, micro display port kind of connector.
Right. So, those are the major things. Probably get the usual processor bumps. I would guess that we're not going to see huge performance increases. Probably going to be along the same lines as usual. That's what happens when Apple changes the form factor, right? It doesn't make the
it's the version that follows leaps. That really grows the. Yeah.
So right now they're kind of shooting for as good or slightly better than current performance specs in an all new design, which would be the major selling point here.
Yeah. Well, I want Touch ID.
Yeah. Touch ID is cool if they can implement it correctly.
Not just because I want to be able to unlock my laptop with a touch. No, I want all of the online purchases.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Well, what if they launched Apple Pay with Touch ID? Right?
And they launched Apple Pay for the web at the same time.
Well, there kind of is Apple Pay for the web if you use Stripe as your processor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because that's how, that's how Lyft and Uber are all doing it, is they're using Stripe as the processor so that you can just do Apple Pay within the app like that.
But, in-app obviously has purchasing, but how many web pages are integrating that into their payment backbone?
Not enough, because they're all using PayPal at this time.
Yeah.
Or a few of them using Amazon payments.
Damn you, Elon Musk.
Mm. But I you know, my end goal here is that Apple Pay replaces PayPal for everything, for person to person, for everything.
I mean, that would be, I think, an obvious, I mean, obviously they're going for something like that, right?
But you certainly hope so.
They definitely have the support, consumer support to throw their weight around a bit. I don't know. I mean, it's a good system. I like it, but it's just not offered in the places that I frequent.
I used it for, I used it for four different transactions today.
Congratulations. I used it for one transaction this past quarter.
Mm. No, I used it at a medical doctor. I used it at an eye doctor. I used it at a dentist. I used it at Walgreens. And I used it at the grocery store, Food Lion.
Where is that?
Five transactions.
Food Lion?
Food Lion.
Oh, Food Lion. I used it at Walgreens.
Yep.
And that was only because they're the only store that was open.
That's because you wanted to experiment and see that it worked.
Kind of. The register or the cashier was not amused by my
by Here's my another dork fiddling with his phone.
Yeah. She didn't seem as happy as I was that it worked.
Well, I know you were overjoyed.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the only – I got to get back to this, because, you know, that's not the only MacBook that's going to launch this year. We're talking about the Pro line changes in Q4.
Right. So supposedly there's
I took out my good old, my reliable 2015 MacBook Air.
Uh-huh.
What a champ that thing is.
Well, guess what? There might not be any more come darn it 2017. So, as some people have theorized, Quo is saying that Apple's going to just go whole hog on the MacBook line and make that the flagship thin and light. And I guess for in the near term, relegate the Air series to the budget model. So they're kind of flip-flopping. Remember when they had the polycarbonate MacBook was the budget? And then
the white MacBook.
Yeah.
And or then black book if you had the 1 year that they did black.
Right. And then they did education for 1 year, and then they phased it out completely. So it's kind of they're kind of switching places. The Air has been surpassed in thin design by the MacBook. It also has a better screen, right? The MacBook
better
does.
Trackpad.
Better trackpad, so better everything. And the writing's kind of been on the wall that Apple's, you know, slowing down development of the Air lineup, going to replace it with the MacBook. But Quo is saying, I don't know about this rumor, because he's saying that Apple's going to launch a 13-inch model before the MacBook Pros this year. So quarter three, I believe he said.
So clarify this for me. We're not going to get a 13-inch MacBook Air. We're going to get a 13-inch version of the 12-inch version.
Yes.
Is that dumb?
It's interesting. I mean,
what do you get? More battery?
Well, a slightly bigger screen. I mean, it's just a 1-inch diagonal, but it is to your eyes probably a noticeable difference, I guess. But it could give them a bit more space to play with internal components, like perhaps a slightly beefier processor or more onboard RAM soldered on. Of course, it gives them a little more headspace. Free space to play with, right, inside the chassis.
I mean, the logic board of the 12-inch is about the same size as a Raspberry Pi at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And if they grow it by diagonal 1-inch, okay, so maybe they gain,
quarter inch or so on each?
Well, a little more than that.
The length? Yeah. Well, I mean, we have to assume that they're going to – I mean, that extra bit could be used for a cellular antenna.
Well, there's nothing stopping them, as you say, from doing a virtual SIM and having the carriers sell service.
So, I mean, there has to be something more than just having an extra inch of Retina display to differentiate the two models. I don't think Apple would come out with the MacBook 13 and just have it be slightly larger than the 12. There has to be something else. Unfortunately, the MacBook Pro moniker is taken, so they can't market it as a step-up model. Maybe the MacBook 4G.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I doubt they'd do that.
One can hope. There are rumors that, you know, they're getting close to making everyone's dreams come true.
Well, speaking of dreams come true, you know, we've been talking a little bit these past couple of episodes about voice first. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, we've been talking about that in terms of payments and other things about the interface and how Apple TV has Siri, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really act like a voice first device currently.
Yeah. No.
Right. And we saw that at Google I.O., Google announced the Google Home, their voice first product.
So their next failure.
Well, I don't know about failure as much as the next thing they'll cancel.
Because it was too popular, they canceled it.
They've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it looks as if Apple bought Vocal IQ.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And what was Vocal IQ good for? What were they about?
Well, they were a voice recognition, speech recognition company focusing on cellular, right? The cellular market.
What was interesting about them is that their technology, as I understand it, is one that was able to establish connections between pieces of information so it could actually kind of build its knowledge base and learn over time.
Right.
And that it's pretty powerful.
Indeed.
That instead of having to teach, you know, instead of having Apple have to teach everything on its back end, that it can amass its knowledge base and grow itself over time and make these connections.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes that can go horribly, horribly wrong, as Microsoft saw with their Twitter bot.
Tay.
It took all of, 48 hours for
I think it was less than that, wasn't it?
24 hours?
I think it was, like, within a few hours, I thought. I don't know.
So what happened with Tay?
Basically, the enterprising internet people taught it to be a racist, sexist, horrible internet troll.
Yeah.
Through there.
So what started out as a subtle teenage personality Twitter bot turned into a supremacist overnight.
Although one can argue that Microsoft was very successful in its goal, right? It accomplished its goal.
It accomplished part of its goal.
It was taught. Tay was taught to mimic the behavior of its contemporaries, which are basically internet trolls on Twitter.
Pretty bad, yeah. So the idea is that Apple bought Vocal IQ and is going to take Apple TV and turn it into a Siri-based Echo competitor.
Mm-hmm.
That instead of making a standalone speaker, which they could do, but they don't want to do, they want the Apple TV to be the hub of everything. And so they can simply put on the always-on mic and, you know, use the set-top speaker and go that route.
Yeah, there's a few snags, right, that they can run into. I mean,
people about the snags.
Well, people have been saying, I mean, they've...
Don't tell me the snags.
Oh, I'll tell you the snags.
God, tell me the snags.
So, besides the fact they have to update the form factor to include something like a speaker or something.
Well, they can use the TV speaker. They don't need to add a
speaker. But you don't
always
keep your TV on, right? The beauty of the Echo is that it's a standalone device that operates outside of other systems.
Well, they don't have to incorporate a speaker. They could do it like the Dot, the Amazon Dot. You use Bluetooth or AUX to pair it to a better speaker.
Speakers. Well, I guess, but who's going to do that?
Well, if Apple TV pairs with a speaker, then do it.
I don't know. I don't know if they would. Anyway.
It currently does AirPlay speakers. You can use any AirPlay speaker
you
want.
Right. But, I mean, that's reliant on
other hardware. No one does it, but it's there.
In any case... Also, where are you going to put it? Right now, my Apple TV, I can't see it because I don't need line of sight because of the Bluetooth remote. So a lot of people hide their stuff in like a cabinet or something, which is kind of precludes the whole always present Siri.
Anyway, so they're going to make this thing.
I don't know about they're going to make it. I doubt it.
You don't think so?
I don't think that they would include, I don't think that they would make an Apple TV an Echo-like device. If they wanted to do that, they would have to make a separate device. I don't think they would build it into Apple TV. Maybe, I mean, people hide stuff, right? A lot of the time these days. I mean, you don't keep your components
less
out.
Less than you think.
I don't know anyone who keeps their stuff out.
I know most people that do, so go figure. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do it just because there's a lot of hurdles, right, to get through as far as... I think it would do better as a standalone, don't you?
Maybe.
What if some people want that Siri experience, but they don't care about streaming content or...
This is the thing about the way Amazon's gone about it, right? Amazon's approach has been to build a couple of different products that incorporate it, to release the code on GitHub that allows anyone to use a Raspberry Pi to create their own Amazon Echo device, which doesn't have always on. You have to wire in a button on the GPIOs on the Raspberry Pi to initiate it. So the same way as using the Siri remote on the Apple TV 4. But they're encouraging third parties like Trilby, which is the refrigerator magnet whiteboard, to be Amazon Echo enabled. There is an Indiegogo I saw today that is simply a button with a mic so that you can cheaply place button and mics all around. There's a wristwatch that was on one of the kicks on the crowdfunders that has Amazon Echo built into it.
Yeah. I mean, those are all neato ideas.
Amazon wants everyone to build it into all of their products so that it just works.
Of course they do.
And what you're going to end up with are products that are compatible with both Amazon Echo and HomeKit over time. That's already happened.
It's already happening. It is, slowly.
Yeah. So what you're getting at is the notion that Apple's going to go ahead and give third-party developers an SDK through which they can interface with Siri.
Right.
Which, and they've already kind of started doing that a little bit in the Apple TV 4, where they allow you to allow Siri to index your app so that you can give voice instructions to Apple TV.
Yeah, but that's just like a few instruction sets. It's very limited.
It's comparatively weak sauce, right?
But I mean, yeah, if you do open up that API, depending on what APIs they, you know, are included in the SDK, that would be that'd be pretty powerful, right? I mean, it would expand Siri to, I don't know, unlimited, perhaps, depending on how much freedom they give developers, which would be interesting. I don't know. Do you think they're playing catch up with other people at this point? Do you
feel? I mean, from a consumer's perspective, seeing that Amazon's got this thing out there and Google already showed it and Apple hasn't shown anything, the consumer is going to say, yeah, Apple's on the back foot playing catch up. What you don't know is that they have Vocal IQ. They have that team on board. They have the knowledge they need to pull this off.
Yeah. Now, I was kind of underwhelmed at the Siri improvements this past iOS 9.
Well,
I don't use them as much as I think Apple would like me to use them.
Siri most people use Siri for starting timers in the kitchen, which is coincidentally the same use that is the biggest use of the Amazon Echo. And the only difference is that with the Amazon Echo, you don't have to touch your phone to do it. And yep. Apple could over and all the Amazon Echo heads, all the fans of Echo tout that as being so awesome that you don't have to touch your phone. And they're all stupid because, and I'm going to get tons of email from Amazon Echo fans, but it's ridiculous because all Apple has to do is turn on always on Hey Siri, and it doesn't matter that it's your phone or a speaker. It's done, right? You still have the hands-free use. So this is not a big hurdle, but that's one of the features that the Amazon Echo heads totally love, is that they can start a kitchen timer and not have to grab for their phone, or they can add to the shopping list without having to grab for their phone. Great. Apple turns on Hey Siri and it's done, right? Always on Hey Siri and it's the same thing.
I'm waiting for something groundbreaking because I personally don't mind expending the 3 calories that it takes me to click through Amazon's purchase.
Not only do you not mind, you like it because your Apple Watch tells you that you've expended the 3 calories.
Yes, I need to fill up those rings, bro.
I'm saying. But what's going to happen here is that currently the Apple Siri interface for what it can understand and speak to are really restricted. We know that. Amazon's got a better vocabulary. Google thinks they can do it best of everyone because they have everyone's information in the world on how we talk, right? How we construct sentences, everything. They think they've got it. And they may well. But where this is going to get interesting is when we start doing totally cool things like commerce through it.
Yeah. Were you as blown away, not blown away, but were you as impressed at Viv as I was? I was pretty impressed.
Tell me what impressed you about Viv.
Just that it was able to parse natural language. I mean, obviously it was tested before they went on stage to do it, but it seems like it is much better at processing natural language. And if they get the support connecting with, third party places like Uber or whatever, which is much more towards the path that I thought Siri would be on at this point than what it is, right?
Viv is cool, I grant you. And it's all of these things are all narrowing in on this same kind of thing, which is when Mikey says, I'm drunk, get me a ride.
Gets me a ride.
Well, not only does it get you a ride, it interprets what get you a ride means.
Exactly.
And not only does it interpret what get you a ride means, it interprets and figures out where you need to be going at this time of night.
Yep.
So when it's 3 a.m. and you've been out there on a bender, right, get me a ride means call me an Uber and take me home.
Right. Well, that's just a normal Tuesday night for me.
Well, I'm aware of that.
Siri should know that by now.
You'd think. But, you know, when I have six people over at my house, and one of them says that they want pizza, and one of them says that they want chicken wings, and one of them says that they want chicken fingers, and another one says that they want a salad, and all this stuff. And instead of the old way where you have to decide on a place and then figure out the menu and each pick from the menu and write down the notes and then call in the order, or in this modern age, go to the website and click through and have it receive the order as a fax at the other end, mm-hmm, which is still horribly antiquated, and then they call you to check that the order was right. In this modern age, you should just be able to start calling out to the speaker, calling out to Viv, calling out to Echo, calling out to Siri, whatever, saying what you want, having it then figure out which place is going to be the one that can accommodate all of the requests, place the order, and it just comes.
Or be really smart and order it from multiple places and send out a TaskRabbit or something to get it, which would be cool.
Yeah, but the problem there is that everyone's food arrives at different times.
No, I mean, you have, I guess you could have, do you have like a service? Well, you live in somewhere that's big. Here we can just like order from multiple locations and they're fairly close to each other. So one person, one car will pick them
you
up.
You live on an island, dude. Yeah,
I guess that's a benefit. I don't know.
Dude. Look, bra, you live on an island.
It's true.
What are we going to do with you?
It's making me hungry for pizza right now.
I'm saying.
Yeah, but I know. I'm looking forward to it. And perhaps I feel like in the near term, the easiest way for Apple to integrate Siri is just to, or get people to use it, is just integrate it into every single one of their devices, which they're kind of moving towards.
Kind of. Almost there, right? Yeah. I mean, it's in the watch, it's in the iPad, it's in the phone, it's in all the iOS devices. It's not in the Mac yet.
Yeah. So aside from when I have my phone near me, I usually have some other electronic device turned on and near me or close enough proximity that I could, you know, potentially talk to it, quote unquote.
I feel like there's a lot to like about Amazon's path of giving it to other developers to use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's never going to happen with Apple, though.
Well, why not? If they make it a part of the HomeKit spec, for example, they already require you to buy a secure element chip, a secure chip that goes in all of the HomeKit devices, so your network's protected. They could require you to throw in a mic and throw in this.
Yeah, I guess. But aside from licensing HomeKit, you're going to have to pay an extra premium to get the components that Apple wants, which would assumedly be more.
You're already buying a chip for doing this.
What are you going to need for Siri, though?
You're going to need a mic, and you've already got a network connection. Okay, so your Bluetooth devices won't do it, but your powered devices, I've got HomeKit devices that are Bluetooth and battery powered. Maybe they won't do it, but the thermostat that's wired on the wall, it should.
That should do it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Someday when they decide security cameras can be HomeKit enabled, they got a mic already. They should do it.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling fan?
Everything's
okay,
watching.
With the ceiling fan, my voice is going to come out warbled from the fan moving around, but still, well, right?
Yeah. Or you could...
The smoke detectors?
Yeah. Or
did you ever get that first alert smoke detector I sent you?
Yes, I did, but I haven't set it up. I have been having problems with my smoke detector wiring that connects all of them. I'm not sure what's wrong with it, but it was triggering the alarm. I had to take them all down.
I think the one I sent you is a battery powered. You ought to try it out.
Yeah. Well, it's not that. I don't know if you have this in your house, but you know, there's like the there's the grounds, and then there's the live wire, and then there's a third wire that is like an interconnect between all of the detectors in the house. So if one goes off, they all go off.
I don't have an integrated smoke detector wiring like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've wired AC powered ones before, but that's just the two wires in a neutral.
Yeah, I think there's something. Maybe there's like a short or something. And
you totally ought to try out that HomeKit one that I sent you.
Is that the one that talks to me and tells me? Oh, this
no.
Doesn't
I didn't
it
send you a Nest. I sent you a first alert.
Right, but doesn't the first alert one tell you?
Install it and figure it out. Come on, man.
Maybe I will. It is hot. I feel like I'm on fire right now.
Well, you are. You're on fire. All right. So you wear your Apple Watch.
I haven't been recently.
Why?
I don't know. Lack of usefulness, I guess.
Okay. So I read something interesting this morning about how every other fitness product out there is based around the step count.
Right.
Do you see this one?
Nope.
No.
But so I agree.
Every band, right? Yeah. Whether it's a Fitbit or a Jawbone or whatever, is based around the step count. And this number, this 10,000 step goal, mm-hmm. is an artificial number. Mm-hmm. That came about when the earliest pedometers came into existence.
Yep.
It's a totally meaningless number, but it sounds good because clearly you've had to do a decent amount of walking around during the day.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. However, your actual active calories, which is what the Apple Watch is pushing for, is a much better measurement.
Right. Also much harder to quantify.
Well, yes. But as the watch goes, it's a much better thing because you're not just walking around casually during the day and reaching that 10,000. Mm-hmm. You are actively attempting to do something.
Right.
Right? And that it's generally better for you, more meaningful.
Yeah. And don't the pedometers and, like, you know, those Fitbits and whatever, don't they use the same platform, I guess, to calculate those steps as it applies to the accelerometer? Isn't there like an open source kind of?
It's not open source, but there's a provider that's very proud that they are one of the leading providers for this kind of a product.
Yeah, which is weird because it basically makes all those products the same.
Well, where they differ is in their industrial design, right. Their battery life, whether or not they have a display, and the way the app works.
I would say the app is maybe the most important differentiator.
I would agree. And I would think that it's not just the app. It's also whether the app is a silo and limited, or if the app talks to all of the other things that are in on the phone. And usually the way I like to see things happen is through either Google Fit or Apple Health.
Yeah, Apple Health is good at ferrying information back and forth between other apps. But as far as being a repository itself, I think it's a bit lacking.
Oh, the dashboard for it's ghastly.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help you draw any conclusions.
That's true.
Right?
They have what's his name from Nike.
Well, they have good old what's his name from Nike, but they also posted that they're seeking a lawyer with HIPAA expertise for health initiatives.
Indeed. Which suggests that they're finally ready to sally forth into that brave new world of health regulations.
Yes. You know, if they're going to have to deal with HIPAA, it means that they're actively looking at things that are actually medically useful.
Right. It also could mean with ResearchKit, a lot of the HIPAA compliance was on the shoulders of the devs, which were basically research groups or universities or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I believe there were HIPAA compliant studies that came out. So this could be more of a software facing position, but it does prompt speculation that that's regulated by government bodies. So I would, blood pressure monitoring, for example,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Glucose, maybe. Blood glucose levels, all kinds of good stuff. That would be very,
well,
very
Pebble's
convenient
already
if it
doing
was
that.
All on your wrist.
Right. Pebble, for a couple of years now, has had ways to get glucose 24/7 monitoring onto the wrist. Oh, yeah. It's been pretty hacky. I mean, the initial attempts
were
very much homebrew gross stuff. But their latest thing they just launched a Kickstarter for is going to enable people to be able to do it with a whole lot less trouble.
So does it? What is it using to measure
pictures and send them to you afterwards? But it's pretty slick what they're doing. You know, they've gone ahead and they're putting heart rate into the watch instead of having it be in the accessory band, things like that. But they are doing it. They are doing it well. Yeah. So here's diabetes data strapped to your wrist. Yeah, I'm going to have to send you this link so you can check it out. It's pretty cool.
I guess the HIPAA thing kind of, I don't know. It could be obviously that they're working on something new, but it could be that they're just trying to cover themselves for
the vision as we know it was always products. That the Apple Watch was going to be a real health device.
Mm-hmm. What an idea that they ditched at the last last moment because of regulatory issues or the regulatory hurdles that were considered
for the first product release.
Insurmountable.
I'm going to temper that by saying for the first product release because
launch,
you know, you go down the path of developing the product. You want to release at some point. You have a date set in mind for your release. Yes, Apple says to everyone publicly that they'll release when they're ready. They won't release before that. But come on, we know that they have a release date in mind. So they pushed out the first one. It's going to live out there for a year or two. They hire in this lawyer who's going to help them overcome the regulatory hurdles. You see where I'm going?
Yep. So you think, I mean, obviously they're developing or attempting to develop something along the lines that was that were rumored previously as far as being a holistic health monitoring platform. And I assume that they continued development even though they didn't bundle it with the first version.
I'm just saying, could
be coming
with my
second version. Is that what you know? All right.
That's what I'm saying.
You think they can achieve something like that by, I don't know, when do you think they're going to
I feel
release the watch? This year,
next year? I'd love to be surprised, but I feel like the watch is the kind of product where they put it out there, they see how it does, they see what people learn from it. They don't want to go ahead and replace it right away. Because everyone who bought one in the first year is now going to feel like dirt.
Well, unless you bought a sport.
No, but did you buy the sport?
Too much of a investment.
Well, all right then.
No. Yeah.
I grant you, if you bought the edition, that you don't mind replacing it right away.
I would rather.
You know, money, but clearly you have enough. But if you bought the steel version, you probably are going to be slightly miffed if they introduce a fresh one 6 months later.
Right. Not only that, but I would rather them. I don't want this kind of TikTok cycle with an Apple with like a wearable device. I would rather them put decent like amount of effort into improvements that are significantly better than the previous version. Not just, you know, battery life.
Well, hold on. You know, stop right there.
Performance. I want to know.
When we talked with Shane,
that's what
the illustrious Mr. Cole in Hong Kong told us that he goes out into the world wearing the Apple Watch without his phone. And that occasionally there's enough Wi-Fi around for his watch to pick it up and get signal and carry on. And that he likes that. That's enough for him right now. Mm-hmm. I was making a bet with Neil, and I made this. I talked with him about this in February, that the Apple Watch, he said, no way. I told him it's going to get cellular connectivity in Q3, I said. And he told me, no way. Now, if the watch gets cellular connectivity, right, if it gets LTE through a virtual SIM, does that change things for you?
Probably. That would be enough of an internal buff, I suppose. But that's adding a completely new feature set, right? That makes it autonomous. That makes it something that I don't... That makes it so it's basically a new device. So that would be enough of a change. But those are the kinds of changes that I would like to see. I would happily wait 2-3 years for those kind of changes rather than minor updates that people are rumored, you know, that rumors are talking about, like battery life or new materials. I don't care as an Apple Watch, as a existing Apple Watch owner.
It's really going to take a new serious feature that changes the behavior of the thing. So more health information, more health gathering, more health advice via the care kit and research kit kind of things, putting in a virtual SIM to keep it always online. Those are the kinds of things that change it for you. Would you go back to wearing it every day?
Yep. I don't know how they're going to... Oh, yeah, I would. And I probably wouldn't carry my phone as much.
Interesting. Because I carry my phone all the time.
Yeah. Well, I don't really... I wouldn't really need it for the quick runs to the store or whatever. I just have it all on my wrist. Should be... Which is kind of the, you know, what people wanted out of a... Or want out of a wearable device to begin with.
But, well, let's talk about the new phone.
I don't know. We'll see if they can do it.
Well,
I don't know if they're
going to
be able to do it
by
this year. I don't know.
We will see.
Good luck with that.
Not afraid to be wrong.
Yeah.
Got to put the bet out there.
All right. Yeah, Apple's, if they want to deliver.
I certainly hope so.
I'm sure they're listening.
Now, I am going to be getting a new phone. Presumably sometime in September. Right. Yeah?
So am I.
Let me tell you about the phone that I want to get in September.
Yeah.
The phone that I want to get in September is going to be large. It's going to have a dual lens camera. It's going to have a smart connector. And it's going to be the same thickness or 0.1 millimeters thicker than the existing one.
So
tell me more about those.
About the schematics that were
leaked? I leaked nothing. You leaked something? No. What did we publish?
No, I didn't leak anything. We just wrote about the latest leaks, quote unquote. now that we're getting pretty close to when Apple should be starting to manufacture in mass quantities the iPhone 7, quote unquote, again. A lot of rumors are coming out from Apple suppliers, a lot of leaks, a lot of schematics. And some are contradictory. Some are saying, the 7 is going to have the dual camera with a smart connector. Some suggest that there is going to be no smart connector. So there's a lot of
including a lot of back and forth about the iPhone jack
around out there. Yep, that is also
Now the latest schematics that we're talking about
undecided
here indicate as far as that there is no headphone jack. We right. don't really know.
Of course, I mean, these could be schematics.
Now,
I do have to point out,
I did mock up a lightning to headphone adapter. So it is possible. Mm-hmm. You know how I did this? I didn't tell you about this. I'm going to write an article about this for our site.
No.
I bought a lightning to HDMI adapter. That is the Apple Digital AV connector. And then I bought a HDMI to VGA adapter that has a 3.5 audio out on it. And when you go lightning to HDMI, HDMI to VGA with the headphone out as the audio and plug headphones in, you have lightning to headphone out and it works.
Awesome. So it doesn't, it's not blocked by, there's no chip that's necessary to process or to authenticate.
It's got that in the Apple Digital AV connector.
If you're doing that. That's true. Oh, yeah. I tried using some lightning headphones exclusively, and I don't know.
I mean, the problem with doing that adapter, no one should do this experiment. I just did it to prove that I could, but no one should actually do this because when you do this, the volume controls are totally disabled, which makes sense because if you're plugging in to go to HDMI to go to projector or something, you don't want to have volume in the way. You want to just deliver the source at a proper level.
Right.
But it functions. So which lightning audio headphones did you use? How were they?
The Audies. They sounded pretty good. Had a couple issues with their software. One issue where it started blaring a high-pitched tone in my ears. So there's that. And this particular model has the DAC and all the guts built into the remote. So the remote is kind of chunky.
Why wouldn't they build them into the ear cup?
I'm not sure, but they did it that way. I think, they did it because I believe the sign also is compatible with other formats, not just Lightning. So I guess it'd be easier then to swap out the remote module that's in line with the whatever cable that's going USB, whatever C or whatever, 3.5 millimeter jack, just switch out that one cable. I guess it's a manufacturing consideration, but I'm not sure. And in any case, it's in the remote, which makes it larger and kind of comical looking.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that it didn't quite work out for you. Had it not been comical and had it not played a high-pitched squeal in your ear, would it have been just fine?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pair of digital headphones with an onboard DAC. It didn't draw too much on my battery. Well, actually, I could, there was a bit of draw on the battery, obviously, of my phone. So that's also another consideration to take into account if you're looking at Lightning headphones.
All right. Well, this has been another episode. This is episode 70, can you believe it, of the Apple Insider Podcast. Mikey, where can people find you online?
At MikeyCampbell81 on the Twitter and AppleInsider.com.
Excellent. Well, if Mikey goes around throughout his day with a high-pitched squeal in his ear from lightning headphones, we'll tell you all about it next time on the Apple Insider Podcast.